My instinct is to call this a folding camera, but it does not actually fold. Rather, it collapses. This is an Art Deco camera dating from the 1930s. In fact, I think it could be called streamlined moderne as it has plenty of curves and no angles. From my interweb searches, it would seem that this camera dates from 1935. This camera is almost entirely made from Bakelite, which is a very early plastic invented in 1907 and used for all sorts of things in the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, other plastics displaced Bakelite, although it would appear that it is still being made. The Bakelite here is colored dark red with a tortoiseshell pattern. The red is so dark as to look brown to me, and the tortoiseshell pattern is only discernible in good light. There is a pattern molded into the Bakelite which simulates, poorly, a leather covering. There is only one control on the camera body, and that is for the film advance. This is a folding metal key which is chrome-plated brass. The key is slightly twisted. At first I thought this was a defect on my camera, but looking at pictures of other cameras of this model, it would seem to be a design feature. This key is on a ratchet, it will only turn in one direction. The key will also pull up slightly to release the film spool inside the camera. The rest of the controls and features are on the lens board. With folding cameras, this lens board is hinged and pulls the shutter/lens assembly out to its operating position if it hinges open. This is not a folding camera. The lens board pulls out on four folding struts remaining essentially parallel to the body as it does so. When the camera is fully collapsed, it is rather hard to start lifting the lens board. There are semicircular cutaways at top the bottom of the lens board to help you get a hold of the lens board. Once it starts moving, it lifts easily and snaps into place on the four chrome struts. Collapsing the camera involves pushing the four struts slightly further out and pushing the lens board in. When the lens board is extended, the shutter and lens are attached to the camera body with a collapsible bellows which are made from burgundy leatherette. At the top of the lens board is a round hole behind which is the viewfinder. This is a hinged brilliant finder. If you are using the camera in the landscape orientation, the finder swivels out from behind the hole and sits just outside the corner of the lens board. These brilliant finders are hard to use. See the photo of the image. The center of the lens board has a molded circle. Inside this is both the shutter and the lens. The lens is right in the center but is not visible from the outside as it sits behind the shutter blades. The lens has no name and would appear to be a simple meniscus lens. The people at Art Deco Cameras have measured this lens and say that the focal length is 100 mm, which is normal for a medium format camera. They also have worked out that the fixed aperture is f/14. This will give the necessary depth of field for such a simple lens. Above the lens is the Legend Model B, and above this the two letters I and T, and above these two is a tab to select between them. I is instantaneous and is the setting for everyday use. Those nice people at Art Deco Cameras have measured the shutter speed to average 1/50th of a second, which is about what I would expect. On the left of the lens is the shutter release lever. This has two positions, up and down. The shutter fires when this lever is moved from one position to the other. Both moving up and moving down will fire the shutter. T is time. With this setting, the shutter opens when you move the shutter release lever and stays open until you move the shutter release lever a second time. Underneath the lens is the maker's name, Soho Limited London. The shutter is the Everset type and there is no cocking lever. Behind the bottom of the lens board are two swiveling legs, one long and one short. The long leg swivels through 90 degrees and provides a support for the camera in the portrait orientation. This long leg is offset to one side and provides a very unstable support, unstable to the point of being next to useless. This is not helped by the camera having to rest on the chrome fitting for securing the back. The short leg swivels through 180 degrees and provides support for the camera in the landscape orientation. This short leg provides very stable support. To open the back of the camera, there is a large sprung catch on the top of the camera. To open this, you slide it towards the film advance key and then lift it. The back of the camera comes away in one piece. The bottom of the back is held in place in a clip which doesn't need opening. The outside of the back is plain apart from the molded leather and the circular red window for reading the frame numbers off the film's backing paper. The inside of the back has information on the type of film required, any 2¼x4 and 1/4 or 6x9 cm film, and the patent number, 330,403-29. Also on the inside are four metal studs near to the corners. It took me a while to work out why they are there. Turns out that they line up with the flanges of the two film spools. As the metal flanges turn, they are prevented from wearing away the bakelite. The inside of the body is dominated by the film gate. This measures 82 by 55 millimeters, which gives quite large margins around the negatives on 90 by 60 millimeters film. The outside edges of the film gate are nicely rounded to prevent the film from being scratched as it moves across the film gate. Either side of the film gate there is a chamber for the film spools. At the bottom of these is a T-shaped steel spring to keep the film taut on the spools. The film spools sit loosely in the chambers apart from the inside of the film advance key locating in the end of the take-up spool.